Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a Monday conversation, folks. Is anyone else having a case of the Mondays? Does Pee Wee Herman, does anyone know what his word of the day is? Because I think I heard it a million times because I wanted to scream today. Just all kinds of stuff that's going on. That's one of those days, but hey, I'm on two legs. I can't complain. I just give it to God. I'm just so tired of these woke billionaires and millionaires that are so out of touch. You know, they can lift up. They don't have to put down. And that's what they do. I'm a billionaire woman. I'm Oprah Winfrey, but you can't make anything of yourself. You know, just keep bitching at the white people. I mean, I'm a billionaire. And if you're too stupid to realize that I'm a woman and a billionaire and I'm black, and you're going to tell me that you're going to believe her when she's like, well, I can't make anything of myself because of the color of my skin. Oh. No, but you got the Meghan and Harry lambasted for being out of touch. Yeah, these royals that are no longer royals that now live in our country. I don't get it. Don't worry, because Joe Biden's deputies are not trying to slow down or contain or reverse this flow of poor young migrant people coming here. Then who knows what vaccines they've had, who knows who they are. How dare you? Okay, so if one person gets by that rapes and murders someone, how am I wrong? I really think that since the Democrats voted for this, they should be housing these people. That's what I think. China Joe is so laser focused on sticking it to the American working class and putting America last. He is China Joe for a reason. He don't care. He does not support America. Sorry. And if you look at his America Last agenda, guess what? Black unemployment is rising. That's right. Blacks are starting to have unemployment go through the roof again. Not like when Trump was president and he was trying to get people working. This COVID crap, you have so many people that are making more money not working that they don't want to work. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. A new NRCC poll, like anyone would not buy this, Nancy Pelosi is the most unpopular elected official in the country. I guess a surprise. Well, I mean, you could say Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, but I mean, still, I mean, that's way up there. How is this a surprise, though, when you think about, you know, it's like they have these polls like, I mean, it is a surprise when they say, like, how many Americans think that the election was rigged, and it should be way higher than that. You know, I'm surprised it's that low. Or when they say like 50% of the people disapprove of the government's handling of things, I'm like, only 50% disapprove. It should be zero. Get into that. Yes, Pepe Le Pew. Oops, I said his name. I'm gonna offend somebody. Yeah, he's being. I guess they're gonna do a Space Jam 2 with woke LeBron James. It's not going to be Space Jam. It's going to be BLM Jam. And they're not going to have Pepe Le Pew because I guess he signifies, like, the rape culture or something. Because, you know, people are offended by Pepe Le Pew. They're not offended. They just don't have anything better to do because they're sitting at home making more money, unemployed because of COVID. I love this because Matt Gaetz has come out and said, has the transition for Harris already begun? Because Joe Biden is taking more naps than, and he's spending more time napping than having questions with reporters. He's in bed by like 6 or 7 o'clock because he'll get sundowner syndrome. He has dementia, and I got grilled by being like, buddy, you're talking to someone that spent 17 years being around that type of person. You just can't tell by. Yeah, you don't just learn dementia by being around a patient. First, you do all kinds of, because you have to do RELIAS, which is monthly training. And, you know, you do lockout, tagouts, and all this stuff. And you learn about that, and you learn the signs and symptoms and stuff first by reading about it and seeing videos and stuff before you see people. Before you're around them, and you learn how to touch someone that has dementia, how to interact with them. I'm going to get into that. Some Manchester United news and stuff. So welcome, folks. Welcome to the conversation. I hope you feel a part of. Don't forget Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And, you know, we have, let's see, this is the problem we have in this world, you know. I think a big thing is we don't, everyone thinks, you know, I was thinking about this today, and I'm probably going to do a video on this, but, you know, I just feel led to say this. So I thought, hey, what the heck, share the word with my listeners, you know. We live in this me world instead of, you know, when I grew up, everyone helped people. Your neighbors, you had a house key. You could, if something was going wrong, you could go over there and check on it. And you could do things. You know, that there's a saying I always say, like, well, you know, I always sit there and I'm like, you know, God can only give you as much as you can handle, so he must think I'm amazing and I'm a badass, because it seems like there's always, I feel like I'm always bombarded with stuff, and you wonder, like, man, I wish my life was as easy as this or that person's or whatever. And, you know, I remember I finally got to see Counting Crows. And I get to hear the song Mr. Jones, and I was expecting to hear the upbeat version, you know, the really moving upbeat. And he pulled out this amazing great baby grand piano, and it kind of disappointed me because he played it slowly. He goes, well, most people don't understand what that song's about. It's about, you know, wanting to be like your neighbor and this and that. And I think a lot of us want to think they think that, well, look at how much better my neighbor has it, or my friend has it, or I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and here he is, he has it so easy. Look at that, you know. And I think we all struggle, we all have issues, you know. We all sit there and we all have, oh wow, you know, we're all like, I bet you everyone would say, well, since God gives you only as much as you can handle, I bet you everyone sits there and thinks like that they're like, you know, because everyone probably goes through a lot more than they say on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know. And like when you see all these photos, you probably think their life is like picture perfect, but deep down they're probably struggling just as much as you are. And in this world, we need to come together. You know, as much as I try to be not white because Coke told me I had to, not, as much as everyone tries to divide us and erase everything and eliminate everything. We need to come together. I mean, granted, and it can even just start with your spouse. Like, hey, what's going on? Talk. Let's sit down and talk. Turn off the TV. How you doing? Your coworker, someone, anyone at work. You can testify. You can sit there and say, hey, if you need someone to talk to, I'm open ears. How you doing? How you holding up? I know the dishwasher ain't working. I know we're short people. How you holding up? What's going on here? And I think we kind of do that anyways, unknowingly. Because I will give that hint out. If you ever heard of a sheet tray, or a sheet cake is made by using a sheet tray. It's like an industrial cookie sheet. And if you put a cake batter in there, most commercial ovens, if you don't turn that tray around like four times when you're baking the cake, you will have a burnt half and a batter half. It's not even baked. You know, I've never been, you know, but like I've been really focused recently on Matthew West's song, Truth Be Told. It's really gotten to me because it's like so true, you know. It's like when I'll admit sometimes I go to church, I'm like, I'm great, everything's wonderful, but like, you know, you're just like, I feel like I got so much going on, and you struggle, and, you know, and the more we come together as a nation and as a body, the better we'll be. You know, when I grew up, hey, you can use this, take it. I don't need it. I'm not going to use this. Here, have it. You know that stroller costs us $1,700? You got a baby stroller for $1,700? That thing better be like with an engine and a... We need at least like $600 for this thing. In my day, okay, if you can't use a baby stroller anymore, you can give it away. Not now. Now you hear people try to get as much as they can out of it because of what they paid for it, and instead of being there for people. And that's what this country needs now. Don't rely on the same people that are trying to keep you locked down and telling you that it's Neanderthal thinking for not wearing masks to help you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And that's what we need to get back to. But nope, they don't know what to do because all these states are trying to open back up with no mask and all this stuff. And this is Neanderthal thinking. I can't believe it. That now's not the time to. They don't know what to do. Well, Joe Biden doesn't know what he's doing, but this government doesn't know what to do because people are like, okay, let's just, okay, yeah, this lockdown stuff is BS. We need to learn to live with this COVID like we've learned to live with AIDS, HIV, hepatitis B, C, A, all this stuff. You know, colds and flus. I mean, heck, we're at the one-year anniversary where Dr. Fauci said there's no really need for us to be walking around with masks on. There's no need for it. And now he's like, oh, you should have like 25 masks on, you know. Make sure they're different colored so you can differentiate so we can make sure you have the two masks or whatever. I actually would take medical advice from Dr. Seuss before Dr. Fauci. I'm just saying. You know, Dr. Seuss, Dr. Fauci's like Bill Nye the Science Guy. Nope. Makes no sense. I'm just saying, you know. I got to give a shout out to my NSC because I posted the thing that with all these migrants and illegals coming into this country because Biden's letting all these people in, that the people that voted for him, they should house them. If you voted for Biden, you should have to be forced to take these people in your home and all this stuff. MINS, he said, put them in the White House, granted community to live with the politicians who encourage them to illegally cross over the border. I mean, seriously, you know, I have friends that are like, well, what, like, you should get the vaccine, you should get this, you should do this, and but they're all for all these people crossing the border that who knows who's crossing the border. Who knows what they've been vaccinated for in their country, if anything. Who knows what diseases they could be bringing here that we have since eliminated. These are real questions. This is not, oh, you're a hateful person. No. When we got people in our own streets that are American citizens that are homeless, they need to come first. You know, we need to open up Nancy Pelosi's wall and let the put a tent city in her yard. You know, a murderer could be amongst those groups. A terrorist could be amongst those groups. Prove me wrong. Show me where they can't be. Show me where a terrorist, Islamic extremist, cannot be in that group that plan to bomb or do something destructive. And I said an extremist because there are some Muslims that are against that. I'm not, because I know I'll get crap for that. So.
Hey, hello there.
What's up?
You mentioned a number of important issues that are affecting America. The one that I like to talk about the most is the unemployment, because you were saying that there are Americans in this country who are unemployed, even though the the Bureau of Labor, they say that we've got, like, I don't know what the ridiculous figure is now, 8%, 7%, 6%. We have had for years over 100 million able-bodied Americans out of work, which the government doesn't even count as being part of the unemployment figure. We don't need immigrants. I'm against even legal immigration. There are 250,000 immigrants, mainly from India, who are taking up space in our universities. We don't need them. We don't need any. What's your thought?
I agree with you. Because that, like, I read a thing that my sister was telling me about, where if you're not looking for work, you are not considered unemployed. So they didn't count you in the unemployment factors. And you have so many people in this country, like homeless people. If we don't take care of our veterans and the people that don't have work now, you know, I guess I grew up in an era where if I had to go to Washington State to pick apples to provide for my family, I would do it. Now you have this entitled group of kids that think they're going to go to college and instantly be a CEO, and they're not going to have to work their way up.
Yeah. I was on a show a while back talking about immigration. And there's always that argument, which I'm sure that you've heard, is that Americans won't do those jobs. But about... Well, last year, I think before the pandemic, so maybe it was even in 2019, there was a job that was being offered, I forget by which company, but it was a brand name company. There were lines around the block by Americans wanting to do this menial task. I think it had something to do with the field. Maybe it was Tyson Farms, I forget. But there's a lot of myths that have been out there that are trying, in my opinion, to destroy this country. That might sound radical, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are many Americans that would do these menial jobs to pay the bills. And that's, I think, more with an older generation, because I know a bunch of these, like I've worked with some people, and I know some friends that are from the younger generation that they were getting more money because of COVID unemployment and stuff. And they were trying to keep where they were working closed because they were making more money unemployed than they would be if they were working. And they basically wouldn't admit it, but you could tell that's what they didn't want to work. they can sit at home and get paid more.
Yeah, and but they don't seem to realize that the gravy train eventually runs out. The money would stop, and even if it didn't stop, it would mean more taxes, which millennials and younger people, generation what X, Y, Z, they don't seem to realize. They don't think that taxes are going to affect them somehow because Biden and Kamala Harris said so. I'm very worried about my country, very worried.
Yeah. I've said this to my mom because we have conversations back and forth, and I said I read an article where I think as of now, in like the last 10 or 12 months, we've printed almost 40% of all the money ever printed in this country. And I see we're on the verge of possibly having hyperinflation and possibly the collapse of the dollar.
I know. I've been reading that, too. That may or may not be true, but it won't happen simply because of the printing of the money. The money can be printed. It has to be spent. Right now, with the businesses shut down, you can't spend that money unless it's online with Amazon or some of the other companies. So right now, I'm not worried about hyperinflation right now, but if they continue to do it, yeah. And that would be part of the destruction of the country, too. I think we're taken over by communists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And some of these people in Congress are so, and the government are so far left, it's not even funny. They're like, and that's what scares me, because they say things and I'm like, that scares me, the way you talk and the way they present themselves. And it's like, we're a constitutional republic.
Absolutely.
And it's like I told my liberal friends, I'm like, yeah, they're censoring us. What makes you think they'll never censor you?
Oh, yeah. You brought up a point that I had reminded some of the people that I was on the show with. And I said, well, this is an argument you can use against liberals. Liberals they believe that crony capitalism is here, and it is, that capitalism is no good. Well, no, capitalism is great, as long as it's not fascist crony capitalism. But then what I would recommend is you say to the people that you're having a discussion with, so you don't like capitalism. You don't trust our politicians, right? And they'll say, yeah, they're corrupt. And then you say, well, if you can't trust people that you can elect into office, what makes you think you can trust the people you can never get out of office? Seems to me to be the bottom line.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally, I agree 100%, because I try to wake people up, and that's and it's hard to do because some of these people are so steadfast that, like, I've talked to people online that are basically like, gas could get to $20 a gallon, who cares? We got Trump out of office at all that matters.
Yeah, right.
This country could fall apart, who cares? Trump's out of office. And I'm like, what? You know, like, at what point, what did Trump do that's bad? He put America first. All these people, you know, I didn't hear one person say, thank God we're not at war now, thanks to Trump.
Of course. When I, when he ran for office in 2016, I didn't vote for him because I thought he might be another warmonger, because I was worried about, because he is a megalomaniac, in my opinion. And I was worried about his finger on the red button. But you're right. He got us out of wars. He signed, or he helped sign, three Mideast deals to preserve peace in the Middle East. And when you talk to liberals about his accomplishments, they love it. He's never done a damn thing. And then they revert back to what he said, but then they won't admit that what he said is taken out of context by the mainstream media. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like, I shared, there was a video where it was talking about how, like, people that share news or someone like me or other outlets, you know, like Breitbart and stuff like this, about how they're a danger to this country and they're showing, you know, and it's a danger to the country because this is false, fake information and stuff. And it was a And it was like a, they did like 50 screens, and they had like all these affiliates of ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox all across the U.S., these local affiliates, and it had them all saying the exact same script.
Oh, yeah. It comes down from on high.
Yep.
And that scares me, too. The fact that politicians, I can understand being corrupt, because they're up there in the highest point of whatever career that they ever would ever choose. They walk the corridors of power, and people are always kissing their ass, and they want to stay in office. So they're very, very open to bribery, extortion, blackmail. But these news correspondents are supposed to be news correspondents, and yet they have to know they're preaching lies. If they don't think that they're preaching lies across the networks, they have to be delusional. Have to be.
Yeah. Exactly. Totally, I agree with that 100%. And that's what's sad. But do you think that these people, like in the media, that are pushing these narratives, do you think that they support it, or do you think they're just doing what they're told?
That's what I was saying. I don't know if they know that what they're preaching is bad, or if they're just delusional. I don't know. They may believe it. If they do, they're delusional. If they know that what they're saying isn't the truth, then they're absolutely corrupt. And you can't be a journalist and be corrupt. My two favorite people in America, outside of engineers and inventors and scientists who actually help our standard of living by innovation, are whistleblowers and investigative reporters, because they shine the light on corruption. So when you have CNN and MSNBC and the rest actually having all these liars, they just lie like it's natural. How can these people have families and try to raise their families in a moral way if every night they're lying and know it? It is scary.
Yeah. I mean, especially when I've seen videos where this is Trump's actual speech and this is what they showed on CNN or MSNBC and how it's cut and pasted and edited to make him look bad. And it's like, if you know full well that you're taking what Trump said and you're cutting it and pasting it and you're lying to the American people, how can you raise kids knowing that, hey, Trump, how can you tell your kids to be honest when you're not honest?
Yeah. If mommy and daddy aren't the examples, well, you know, we've had a breakdown of the nuclear family anyway. What's the percentage, do you know, of the number of children born out of wedlock now? Isn't it about 46% or maybe even more?
I think it's like 50 now. Yeah, it's like 46 to 50. It's high.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, isn't that an indication of the breakdown of a country? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You've got these women who don't mind popping out babies, a lot of them because they want the welfare money. So they stay in an environment of welfare. But here in our country, a poor person is not really poor, because unless you're homeless. A poor person has a 29-inch plasma TV, they might have a car, they live in affordable housing, they might have some spare money, they got food stamps. So here, they're using their children to get money. How can you have that? Where are your values?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, this is... I live in Indiana, and they had this huge investigation because they have an ITINS number. It's an illegal tax identification number, so that if you come here and you pick corn or berries or whatever, you can pay taxes. And they say, oh, this is a great thing. We can get these illegals that come up here like to pick, because you're not going to get Americans to do the menial job, so let's get these people from Mexico to come up here and let's come up with this tax ID number for these illegals so that they can pay taxes. And this guy who was a tax preparer was red flagging tax returns because they were claiming 7, 8, 9 kids, and this one kid was claimed like 5 times, this other kid was claimed like 8 times, and they didn't even live here. and they were getting $20,000 tax returns and $15,000 tax returns.
It's
and
incredible.
He was red flagging them. They were doing nothing about it.
Yeah. No, I'm going beyond the communists. I always say it's the Rothschilds because we have the Federal Reserve here, which is the central bank. And any country, China, Russia included, does China have a central bank?
I think they do.
What about Russia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, any country that has a central bank is being controlled by the Rothschilds. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Because a central bank puts the country into debt. If you didn't have the central bank, then the powers of the currency would revert back to the treasury, and we wouldn't have one dime worth of debt. But see, people don't like numbers, they don't like math, they don't like economics, they don't do research. So they just believe that, $21 trillion of debt, and that's just the national debt. The Pentagon had, it was revealed last year or maybe even the year before, that they have a black budget of $21 trillion. So we're printing money like crazy, but the only reason why the dollar hasn't fallen yet, number one, the mainstream media hasn't directed its attention towards it, and secondly, over in Europe, their currencies aren't doing well either. So
yeah.
Compared to their currencies, our dollar's strong.
Yeah. So what do you? I haven't heard about this in a while, but there was talk that they hadn't done like an audit of Fort Knox, and there's a lot of people that say that the bars in Fort Knox, if they're even still there,
yeah,
are gold bars that are plated and they're tungsten filled.
Yeah, I've read that too, but I'm a person who believes. I find all those stories interesting,
yeah,
but I always believe in. What are your references? What are your citations? What are your sources?
Yeah.
Where's
yeah
your evidence? You know?
Yeah. That's how I am. I'm like, yeah, I can see it happening. Like, I can see that they're fake. And it's like the 63 quarter versus a 75 quarter. One has silver, one doesn't. I could see where they're not full gold bars. But where's the evidence? Where's the proof?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like D.W. Griffin. No, I'm against the Fed. And he wrote an interesting book about, what is it, The Monster from Jekyll Island. It was about how the Fed was started. But from what I understand, there's no footnotes or references in the book. So even though he may be 100% correct about how the Fed got here in 1913, but without evidence, it's unscholarly. I like to go to the National Security Archives, where the government has declassified a lot of documents showing, okay,
mm-hmm,
that the government has been involved in, I don't know, six or seven taking over of foreign governments. I think the United States has been involved since about 1900 in about 40 wars. The Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, they've invaded in 40 countries. So I like that kind of evidence, you know, evidence that you have to get through the Freedom of Information Act that the government doesn't want you to know about, because those are confessions, in essence.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the kind of evidence I like. But again, anytime anybody has a good story or some sort of insight into what's happening, it may be absolutely true, but without evidence, take QAnon, for example. I didn't hear about QAnon until January of this year. I heard that QAnon was around for like 2 years, and they were talking about how Trump was picked to run by certain factions of the government. Do you ever listen to Alex Jones? Because I do.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Steve Pachesnik?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a guy that's been on there throughout the years, I guess throughout the last 10 years. Maybe 10 or 12 times. Now, this guy used to work in the government. He used to work as a hostage negotiator. And he predicted that Trump would stay in office on January 20th. Not just QAnon, but this guy. And he said that there were forces in the military that were working for Trump, that Pelosi and Biden and Kamala Harris would be arrested. None of that's happened, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, that's why I say, you know, give me evidence. I'm from Missouri.
Yeah. That's how my wife and I are. I'm like, okay, here's Biden getting investigated for the 100th time. I'm like, until he's in handcuffs, no.
Yeah.
Until I see Hillary Clinton in handcuffs, I'm tired of hearing every time I turn around, they're getting investigated for the 15th time or 13th. I'm like, no. Until you got them in handcuffs, I'm not. Because, like, I remember when they had that quid pro quo video, I showed people, this is Joe Biden telling the Ukrainian oligarch that, hey, you got 5 hours or 9 hours or whatever. If you don't get rid of that prosecutor that's investigating Hunter Biden, you're not getting that extra $1 billion. So what? Who cares? I don't care. So what? Like, if that was Trump, you'd be.
Oh, he'd be impeached. But I saw that video, too. That video was not by itself incriminating. It was at, I forget, you know, he said, well, son of a bitch, I told him 6 hours, I'm leaving here. And if you don't fire the prosecutor, you don't get the $1 billion. Now, I saw the video. It by itself is not incriminating because he was given the task by Obama to actually, you know, take a look at various countries that are receiving foreign aid and to see if they're corrupt. So that's his cover. Now, when you take a look at the at some of the money trails with his sons, Hunter Biden, like I think Biden received $1.5 billion from China, and the emails that said that, you know, half of it, or let's say 10% of it, was going back to Pop, that's incriminating. You know, because I like evidence on both sides. I'm a Trump supporter for as long as he's for our civil liberties. I am not, I don't like the fact that he promoted the vaccine. I think that was one huge mistake and a half.
Yeah.
But other than that, what he did when he was in office, lowering the unemployment rate, getting the trade deals fixed, the Mideast deals that he made that were for peace in the Middle East, you know, lowest unemployment for blacks and Hispanics and women, all those great things, the lessening of regulations so that the mom and pop stores can, you know, can actually make some money.
Yeah.
Those things were good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As long as he's for my civil liberties, I'm with him. If he's not, I'm not with him.
I think the big mistake he made was he should have come out and said, okay, folks, as a nation, we will not lock down. If each state wants to have their own regulations and lock themselves down or whatever, that's up to them. Because when he locked down this nation, then it instantly, they had control. Okay, now we can stay locked down. We can do all this stuff that damaged this country. Where if he said, okay, I'm not locking down. I don't believe in it. If you want to lock down, it's up to your state. That way, I had nothing to do with it because, they, I mean, when all these states were, because, I mean, like, the whole time they stayed locked down, they tried to blame him and they tried to go after Trump for all this stuff when he really had nothing to do with New York and all that stuff and these other states that still continue to try to stay shut down and locked.
Well, I think he was the major catalyst for the lockdown because people tell me that as a president, he had no power to lock down the entire nation. Now, he gave out a guideline and he wanted to lock down the nation and advised that the governors do it, and they gladly went along. So I blame him for that. He had to know because he was there to drain the swamp. So he had to know that if he gave that advice and they followed it, that it would take – It would be forever before they lifted the mandates. He had to know that. So he's very much responsible, even though he didn't sign an executive order. I may be wrong. That's what I was told, that he didn't have the power. And he just also didn't have the power to relieve the mandates and the lockdowns because now it was up to the governors. But he had to know the governors would take advantage of it. So I blame him for that, too.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, that just... There's just some things about, like what do you, like, I just... A lot of people wonder why, like, when the election stuff happened, like, why didn't he... Because I've been told by some people that he had the ability to call martial law and
he did.
Yep.
I read the executive order.
Why didn't he do it?
Yeah. Did you read it? He signed it in 2018.
Yep.
And he declared it a national emergency. He could have done it. I was waiting for him to do it. I even lost a bet. I said that after the election, after November, when he lost, when it was taken away from him, I said, he's still going to, don't worry, he'll be on January 20th, the president. Nope, I lost my bet.
Because that's what got me. Because he's always been a fighter. And, I feel like he just, said, I don't know if he thought that he could do more away from the White House to help America and fight for this country than being at the White House. I don't know.
Well, maybe he got tired. I mean, I've never seen a politician get beat up on such a daily basis with such lies and insults than him.
Oh, I know.
You know
the unity side, they really showed that with Trump,
What's the unity side? You mean the
that is the liberals that claim they want unity, but then they didn't show unity towards Trump.
Oh, no unity.
Time,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I post all the time that photo of Kathy Lee Griffin, Kathy Griffin
with the,
holding
with
that
the
decapitated
head.
Trump
head.
Yeah, and I say, is this still funny?
Because
that's
it.
What you call unity.
Oh, yeah, they're unity. Yeah, but they want every Trump supporter to not. Somebody introduced a bill so that anybody who was a Trump supporter would not get hired by the federal government. They also created a hostile environment among college professors and other universities so that conservative professors would be hassled, would be harassed. So this unity is all bullshit.
Yep. It is. Well, they support unity as long as you support 100% what their ideology and think like they think. As long as you think like they think, it's okay. But if you disagree with them...
It is rules for thee, but not for me.
Exactly. And I think, like in California and in Michigan, people are getting fed up with this, hey, I saw my governor do all this stuff, when I'm forced to stay and I can't go out to eat, I can't do this, I have to wear a mask and he's at the French Laundry doing whatever he wants to, not social distancing, no mask, wait a minute here. If he can do it, and I think people are finally starting to get fed up.
Oh, of course. I mean, they have enough, I think they have enough signatures in order to recall him. But then again, just like the election fraud, the people who will count the signatures will say, oh, nope. Yeah. We don't have enough signatures. He'll stay as a governor, and he'll continue to destroy California, just like Whitmer is destroying Michigan, and just like Cuomo is destroying New York.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
We're in a bad, bad place, a very bad place.
Yeah. And that's the thing I've said. I said, just look at how bad California is, and those people get elected year in and year out. Something needs to be going off in your head saying, hey, if we're continuing to go down a bad road, if you have a restaurant and you're not making it and you're not bringing in the people, you're going to say, okay, I got to look at the front of the house. Let me look at the chef. Let me see, why is this restaurant failing? And if California's failing or Michigan's failing or Pennsylvania's failing or New York's failing, the people need to be saying, okay, why are we continuing to go downhill? And why are these people continue? Because I know people in California that say, I don't know how some of these people get reelected every 2 years, because, or 4 years, whatever, because no one can stand them.
Well, now we know. The election fraud's been around for a while. There's been a history of voter fraud. Tammany Hall in New York in the 1900s. That was the he made millions. What was it? Boss Tweed. He made millions out of the graft that he because he controlled the New York elections. Philadelphia is a famous place for voter fraud. It's just I never expected it to be that widespread and that effective. When the election got stolen from Trump, I said that was the end of America because if they can, because what else are you going to do? How are you going to resist? And this is this is another thing which gets me. These conservative pundits, I don't even listen to them barely anymore. The Levins, the Hannitys, Limbaugh died, because they predicted that this kind of, they didn't really predict about the election fraud. I think Limbaugh mentioned it. But they didn't predict it. But they predicted that communism would be here if the Democrats won the election. So they always said, go out and vote. Don't assume that Trump will win. Get out the vote. So now that he lost, when people call in to Hannity and to Levin and Limbaugh went before he died, and they asked, what can we do? They, you know what they say? Firstly, they said, I don't know. And then they would say, engage in your local politics. How the fuck is that going to help?
Yep.
Somebody tell me how that's going to help. And why would you think, after the election fraud, that especially when the state legislators didn't want to hear Giuliani's evidence of 100 affidavits and people who... the video of people not being able to monitor the corruption. What? Why would you give people advice to to try to become elected when it was the election that stole America from us? So I don't have any faith in these pundits either.
Yeah. The only thing I can suggest is if like Levin or Hannity or Limbaugh, when they were so out, they said, okay, you need to be calling every day. You need to be if they're going to have a vote on something locally with the city council, you need to be there demanding, okay, what are you voting on? Where's my money? And you need to have a crap load of people, and you need to be in their face saying, you work for me, you know. And that needs to trickle all the way up to your governor.
But I don't think that'll work either.
But I don't think it's going to do anything either.
No, because first off, people don't know how to organize. There's the mandate of got to wear the mask and you have the shutdown. Now they're tracking you in certain states using your phone to find out if you've got COVID. So they're tracking you where you go. And first off, again, you're asking politicians who are corrupt to not be corrupt.
Yeah.
So to me, my particular solution is if the cops, the Oath Keepers, can get organized, okay, then that nullifies the corruption of the legislatures. Because let's say, for example, you're a business owner. And you're supposed to be shut down because of COVID. Now, if you open up because you need to feed your family, then the inspectors come along and they fine you thousands of dollars. And if you don't pay the fine, then you go to jail. Well, what if the cops said, we're not doing it? Sheriffs are doing it in certain states. They're saying, we're not enforcing this bullshit. But what if the cops said, nah, we're not doing this either? Then the power of the corrupt politician, which was through enforcement, through the cops, through the state police, sheriffs, and police, is nullified if the cops would organize. But the cops, they're stupid. They're spineless bitches. They let Black Lives Matter and Antifa burn down neighborhoods to the tune of billions of dollars, and they let them burn down their precincts, and they let themselves get hurt. Because they took all orders from the mayors, the Summer of Love. So, you know, the captives, they stood up, the American people stand up with them. But they're spineless. They're just dishwashers with guns.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh, I know. It's just sad, you know. And I think, I mean, I that's what I hated this whole summer, this past summer was, well, it was mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful.
Yeah.
With like buildings on fire. And are you kidding me? What is this, a high school prep rally or something?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's mostly peaceful, but I'm sorry, I'm too near the building that's burning right now, so I'll move.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it is so sad, it's laughable. Oh,
it is.
Jeez.
Did you ever read that they used to have that magazine called The Onion that was like fake stories?
Yeah.
You don't even need that anymore. You got the liberal media.
Yeah. Well, The Onion was absolutely farcical and satirical. So you knew they were telling lies in order, you know, that to be satiric. But MSNBC and the rest, they're just flat out sending us lies across the airwaves.
Yep.
This is, I mean, when you have corrupt people, when you have people who are that easily corruptible, you have, it's scary. I've been fired from jobs because I refused to do certain things which I thought were unseemly. Let's just use that general vague term. And, you know, well, granted, I wasn't making $250,000 a year as a pundit or as an anchor, but I still had to go look for work afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, if we had enough people who were truly honest, had integrity, loved America like Trump was supposed to have loved America, then we wouldn't be in this crap. You know, it's like the old saying, you can't bribe an honest man.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe just about everybody except Rand Paul in Congress either is bribed or is a victim of extortion or blackmail or is waiting for a bribe.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all in bed.
Yeah,
and I think if... Go ahead.
The Democrats and the Republicans, what's the difference between them? Nothing. It's just meant to divide the attention. I mean, ever since the Democrats and Republicans were formed, it's just meant to divide the country. It's just meant to make people think, oh, okay, well, I'm a Democrat, and as a Democrat, we're going to make sure the Republicans don't do any real damage to America. And the Republicans feel the same way. So there are two parties fighting, vying each other, but they're not really fighting each other. What they're doing is they're just splitting up the pie and the pot and the booty of the lobbyists. That's all they're doing.
Yeah. We're going to sit there.
Huh?
Yeah, I think they kind of, we're going to sit there and distract you people while you're distracted over here with you think the agenda is. We're going to clean house and they're all in it together. Republicans and Democrats are all in it together.
One thing that Hannity did point out was that when Obama was president and he tried to pass Obamacare, the Republicans said, we don't want anything to do with it. So not one Republican senator voted for Obamacare. So it looked to their constituents that they were against Obamacare. And they said, well, next time, you know, we will repeal it. So Trump gets elected and he says, okay, this is the exact same bill, the exact same plan. Time for Republicans to repeal it. Not one, but the majority of Republicans, they didn't vote to repeal it. What happened? Because they're in bed together with the Democrats. They get money from the same lobbyists.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And people don't see that, and that's the sad thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what it is? Because for some reason, like over the past few years, I've gotten in discussions with people I don't even really know well about politics, and they're kind of well-versed in the New World Order. They believe the Rothschilds, as I do, control the world. And I'm not the one who led the conversation. They did. So I believe that people have an idea that out there something dark is here. But what I think stops people is this. As Americans know that their politicians are corrupt, but they don't believe and don't want to believe that their politicians are so corrupt that they will literally sell out America for a few million dollars. They don't want to believe that, because I know I was the same way. I used to be a Democrat. And all of a sudden, one day, I was confused about what the Democrats and Republicans and Bill Clinton, what he did, what politicians before him had done. It seemed like, this is crazy. You don't sell arms to Israel and then sell arms to their enemies. You don't give away electronic equipment, which is sensitive to our national security. What's going on here? Then I got an epiphany, and the epiphany was they would, will, and have sold out America. When that epiphany came to me, then everything made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I've had those moments like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I got about 3 minutes left in the program, folks, but
okay.
I remember watching a Tobacco Wars documentary, and one of the highest-ranking defectors in there, Jeffrey Wigand, goes, I was making as a research executive $400,000 a year, and it was hard for me to give up that cash that I was getting. When I started to realize that, hey, they knew this stuff was toxic. They knew it was dangerous. They knew it was addictive.
Yeah.
It was hard to turncoat because I was making so much money. But eventually I had to make a decision. Mm. Do I turncoat and expose that they've known since the 50s how dangerous this stuff is, or do I not? And when you see these politicians that you can tell that, okay, if I get $10 million, I'll sell out America.
Sure. For less than $10 million.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the lobbyists. I mean, look how stupid we as Americans are, the lobbyists. Come on. They're nothing but carpetbaggers with millions of dollars in their bags, bribing your politicians to work against you. And they're doing it in the open. So
yeah.
That makes it all right. The newspapers talk about the lobbyists. They are people who bribe your politicians. And the people know it, but they still want to, be divided. They want to go with the Democrats or the Republicans instead of saying, both of them suck. If people realize that their party was really corrupt, then maybe we might get something done.
Yep. Right on. I agree totally.
Well, you've only got a few minutes left, so I guess you want to, close out the show. When are you on? Just on Mondays?
Monday and Wednesdays. From 6 to 7.
Okay. That's good. So we need more conservative shows. Well, I'm a libertarian, so I would like to have a libertarian show. When I first got here to Blog Talk Radio, there was a libertarian show, but I think after about a year, he left.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right, maybe I'll show up on Wednesday. Maybe we can spread some information out to the liberals.
Not a problem, man.
Okay.
All right,
later. Take care and be safe, all right?
You too, man.
Take it easy now. Bye-bye.
I just want to remind all my listeners, don't forget this. But the firm reliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. When they signed that constitution, they knew that they could die for what they were doing. People need to wake up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until Wednesday, God bless and good night. Goodbye.